Good morning, everyone. At 9:19, I'm Mary Griffith. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this Friday getaway before the Labor Day holiday. And an old friend of mine from theater days, he is the first gentleman and first lady of the theater, is how I think Brenda and Bill Stalder are quoted. But today we're not going to be talking about theater, although I do want to say, anything on the horizons for you? Trying out for anything? In anything?
Nothing on the immediate horizon, but I know QCT is getting ready to announce the next season, and that's always a big deal. And within the next couple weeks, I think,
yeah,
the big announcements.
So you're going to tell me now what's on the agenda, because I know you know.
I honestly do not know the season. They're tight-lipped about it, as they should be, but I know they've been working hard, and it'll be another excellent slate of shows.
Oh, absolutely. So now that we've got our love of theater and our kudos to, and go see The Trip to Bountiful, everyone, it's, you know, they often say, well, these theater shows, they're for two young kids. They're for young kids. Trip to Bountiful is right in the wheelhouse of the 70-plus crowd. So get in there and get your tickets to
absolutely.
Trip to Bountiful. Well, let's talk about the Adams Electric Cooperative, because that's what you're getting paid to come here today and talk about.
That's
I know you just talked to your boss this morning. He's like, now be good there, Bill. Don't let Mary Griffith throw you a curveball. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, including your annual meeting. But first and foremost, let's explain, what is an Adams Electric Cooperative? What does that mean?
Well, that is a good question. A lot of folks don't realize exactly what co-ops are. Basically, we're a member-owned company. We're responsible to our membership. We provide electric services to a number, probably approaching 9,400 now, members throughout Adams, Brown, Schuyler counties, and parts of four other counties. So member-owned, formed way back in the early 30s, out of necessity, really, to get electric service to farms and rural areas where the investor-owned utilities just weren't interested in expanding just yet. So co-ops came about, out of necessity to provide electric service in our case, but co-ops exist in food industry, in telephone, farmers, co-ops. So it's not a unique, well, it is a unique set up and very,
primarily
very
in the rural area, though, because these for-profit companies were not going to invest in the infrastructure, the miles and miles of line it took to go between farmhouse to farmhouse.
Exactly.
So the cooperatives were established with the help of the government, kind of guiding them to say, look, you know, you can do this, and then you'll own your own electric company. In like Ameren, I'm a customer of Ameren because I don't live in the Adams Electric Cooperative region. I live in the city of Quincy, so I'm an Ameren customer. And when I pay my bill, Ameren then turns around and takes its profits and disperses them to its stockholders, its shareholders who buy Ameren stock. You turn around and take profits, which you're not really allowed to have a profit, so you have to return it back to your owners.
Our members are our shareholders, and we do obviously have to operate, in the black. So any profits we have, we call margins. And once we've deducted all of our expenses and paid our employees and bought the electricity we need, those extra monies, that the margins are returned back to our members in the form of capital credits.
The great thing about that is everybody knows that they're paying the least amount they possibly can for their electricity, but they also know that you've got a really long-term commitment. Sometimes people complain that for-profit utility companies don't invest enough in infrastructure replacement. And Adams Electric Cooperative has no incentive whatsoever to have old or failing equipment. You've got a great incentive because you're owned by yourselves to say, hey, I want maybe not the latest and the greatest, depending on how much it costs, but I want to make sure I've got adequate, reliable service.
Absolutely. The technology that we've implemented, the co-op is very aggressive in going after grant opportunities and anything that we can to help, you know, implement those new technologies. And we're very aggressive in, you know, line clearance and tree trimming, because we know all of that pays off in the long run in the form of fewer outages and better service for our membership.
Adams Electric Cooperative Representative Bill Stalder is here today, and we're going to talk about their annual meeting in a moment. I want to talk about your region, because I know I don't know much about Illinois, but I know in the past in Missouri there have been some clashes because, you know, you're out in the rural area since 1930. Well, guess what? Quincy has grown. And so does your footprint stay the same, or when it becomes more city-fied, more gentrified, does Adams Electric Cooperative have to give up that space to a for-profit utility?
We do not have to give up that space. The territories were defined many years ago, and you're right about Quincy growing, and they've grown into our service territory. A lot of people are surprised to know that we serve Walmart. We serve the Quincy Holiday Inn. We serve John Wood Community College. But, you know, we don't serve Prairie Crossing. We don't serve Sam's. So the service territory is a little jagged on those eastern boundaries of Quincy. But it was our territory early on. And as Quincy continued to grow eastward, you know, a lot of these businesses became members of Adams Electric, and we're thrilled to serve them.
Well, it's a big economic development boon for you, too, because I bet you wish you had Prairie Crossing, but you can't really get it, right? I mean, if it didn't already exist, as long as somebody else wants to serve it, you can't take it.
There's a rare occasion where, you know, we'll work with Ameren. It's mostly for residential services. If it just makes sense, if it's an isolated service that's easier for us to serve, and maybe we'll do a trade. Those are few and far between, but it still happens on occasion.
Now, talk a little bit about how it benefits a farmer, you know, out in Clayton or Camp Point to have Walmart be a part of their member, because they use a lot of electricity.
They really do. But they're not, surprisingly, they're not our top user. I don't know if you've heard of Time Will Tile. They use a tremendous amount of electricity. The Department of Human Resources facility in Rushville uses a lot of electricity.
What is that, the juvenile jail?
That is the adult sex offenders facility outside of Rushville.
Okay, adult sex offenders need a lot of electricity?
Well, it's a big facility, and it takes a lot to run something that size.
Okay, I'm not going to make a joke, but I mean, it's like, we're very proud of all of our members. Perhaps we just don't highlight the Rushville Sex Offender Center. But again, somebody has to provide them electricity, and they're in your district. And if they're a huge user, we don't like that we have to have that, but we do have to have it, and it benefits everybody else. So Time Will Tile, Rushville. My mind is blown. I mean, now you're really blowing my mind. Because, I mean, I've heard of Time Will Tile. I know what it is, but I just can't, you know.
It's very, you drive by it, you see all the tile in the, you know, on the property. And I've toured it a number of times, and those giant extruders use a lot of power. And it all comes from Adams Electric.
Okay. Well, just name maybe the top five, if you can.
The top five, as far as our users, would be, well, if you take all of the hog confinements...
As
a group, the hog confinements, of course, John Wood Community College, Timewell, we mentioned the sex prison or the Department of Human Services.
It's been, and look, Mary, if Mary hadn't been stupid enough to ask, we could have just called it.
We could have skipped that one.
Bill's like, okay, Mary, really, do we have to go into detail? What about Walmart? Not even in the top five?
Well, they are up there.
Okay,
they're probably in that top 10 for sure, probably in the top five.
I bet the schools use a lot.
They do, and we do serve three different schools. We have Liberty, and then St. Dominic here in Quincy is in our service territory.
You mean when I went to school at St. Dominic, my brain was fueled by Adams Electric Cooperative?
I did not
know that. I feel smarter
and
already.
Central. I don't want to forget.
Oh, don't forget Central.
We serve them as well.
I'm just astounded. All these years I've lived here, and I didn't know the answer to these questions. I mean, and I think that's why I love this show. Every day I learn something different. And some people say, how could you be that stupid? But These are not things we think about. I turn the light switch on and I expect the light to go on. I'm not really worried about where it came from or how it got there.
When we have the opportunity to talk, you know, whether it's the CEO groups or the or school groups, and it isn't something you flip the switch, the lights come on, you have your hot showers, you don't give it a second thought unless there's an outage. Then people think about their co-op or their electric supplier and want answers right away. But on any given day, and that's how we like it, you just don't even have to think about it. Your electricity's there, safe, reliable, affordable. And if that all three of those are happening, we're meeting our mission.
Safe, reliable, and affordable. How do you gauge each of those things? Let's talk about, we've talked a little bit about affordable. Some of those costs cannot be helped. We'll get to safety, but how do you gauge reliability? I mean, who gives you a grade on that? Is there a federal grade? Is it your own member owners that give you a grade? How do you determine we are reliable or, hey, we're not so reliable?
Yeah, outages are tracked. Blinks are tracked. So we know if we do have an outage, if it's storm-related, if it's related to, you know, a squirrel searching for a warm place in the winter and takes out a transformer. So all that is tracked, and we're given percentages on how many outages we have, and then more importantly, how long it takes to restore those outages. And our linemen are top notch. They are on call 24/7 at the ready, and when we need them, they hustle and try to get members back on just as quickly as possible, knowing that, you know, this time of year with the excessive heat, AC is hugely important, and freezers full of food that we don't want to go bad. So the reliability is something we take a lot of pride in. We mentioned the tree trimming and just the routine maintenance of making sure that as much as we can, that dead trees are taken down quickly, that poles are inspected regularly and bad ones are replaced on a regular basis. So it's huge for the co-op to be reliable, and again, we have a pretty good track record on that.
You would hear about it if you didn't, since
Absolutely.
You are owned by your members.
Yeah.
Let's talk about availability of power. Where does Adams Electric Cooperative get its electricity? And more, solar is becoming a little bit of a part of your whole menu, right?
I deal with solar on a daily basis with our residential members who are choosing to install solar. We still depend on coal-fired power plants largely for that base load. The technology just doesn't exist yet to be completely renewable. We have embraced renewables. We own two wind turbines. We just recently received a grant to the tune of $5 million. Where we'll be installing a 1 megawatt wind turbine along with a 1 megawatt solar facility just outside of Rushville, Schuyler County. So even with that, the renewables make up a very, very small portion of our portfolio. We depend on the output from the Prairie Power facility in Lively Grove, Missouri. It's a 1,600 megawatt coal burning, one of the cleanest coal burning facilities in the country. So baseload served by that facility, we own a portion of that, and then the rest is a mix of natural gas and solar and wind. So very diversified, but right now, we hate to, but we still depend on coal.
Well, I mean, but solar's growing. Now again,
yeah.
If it's very small, and even if it doubles, but eventually more and more people are going to be turning to that, I think. However, what does that do to your revenue stream?
Well, as a member-owned electric co-op, the only product we sell is electricity. So, all along, I found it when I took this job 21 years ago that part of my job was teaching our members how to use our product more efficiently, to sell them, to encourage them to invest in geothermal systems and heat pumps, high-efficiency units that make them use less of the only product we sell. So as members install solar, of course, they are going to buy less of their power from us. They're producing their own in a lot of cases, a month like this especially. But there are winter months where they won't be producing as much. We still require a monthly facility charge of $49 that helps. That's a fixed cost that helps us cover some of our fixed costs.
So, you still have to get the line there.
Right.
Right.
The equipment, the wire, the transformers, all that stuff has to. And the, you know, those things are not getting any cheaper. They're going just the opposite. They're becoming harder to get and a lot more expensive.
One of the things that used to be really critical in my vast years, as I'm old, as a news reporter, we used to get alerts from utility companies all the time. Today is a peak power day. Please don't use power today. Conserve any way you can, because you have to buy for your absolute maximum usage. In other words, a 105-degree day, you know, it's counterintuitive to use less air conditioning, to run the dryer, not run the dryer. But the bottom line is, if Adams Electric Cooperative has to go to Lively Grove, Missouri, and say, we need X to keep our customers happy, they're going to say, well, you know, you need X on an average day, but we're going to make sure you have an X plus Y on the days you really need it. That's where the real cost comes in, isn't it?
It's like you see that 8-lane highway. You don't need those 8 lanes at 3 a.m., but you do need those 8 lanes at 5 p.m. or at 6 a.m. when the morning rush. So we have to, just like you said, we buy power for our peak. And we do have a system in place, as does Ameren, where on occasion, you know, this past week where we had to do load control, where we send a signal and control people who signed up for it. It's voluntary and they get compensation for it. But we'll shut off their water heater for a couple hours. We'll control their AC every 15 minutes. So it helps us not set a new peak and therefore have to contract for more electricity. So that is an active program and a very beneficial one for the co-op and for the member.
Well, because nowadays we do understand that it's not just an unlimited supply of this stuff. And so conservation, you know, you are right. It's a strangeness to work at a company that sells something and to try to be getting people to use less of it. So that there's an irony in that, you know, that's kind of interesting. But, of course, that peak load can really cost the member cooperative members a lot if they aren't cooperating.
The most expensive power is when it's at peak.
It's
so
we don't want
to have to purchase more than we need to.
Well, let's talk about something good, like a grilled pork chop dinner.
Now, yeah, that's coming right up.
COVID just ruined everybody's annual meetings, but the Adams Electric Cooperative is going to have an annual meeting this year. But you're doing it different. You're doing it at the Mendon Fairgrounds, and it's a drive-through event. So how do I vote? How do I get my prizes? And how do I get my food if you're not really having a meeting?
Well, we put all that information in the Adams Outlet, which is our monthly publication. So
I love.
Our member, Laura, does a fantastic job with that. But we, as we started contemplating this change, again, 2020 was a game changer. We've had a couple drive-through meetings. They've been fairly successful. We've learned a lot. One thing we learned was the park was too small to handle the amount of traffic. So we moved it out to the fairgrounds. We'll have signs where you enter. We're going to have 4 lanes to register. They'll hand you an ink pen, the ballot to vote for the 3 directors who are up for getting reelected, and we'll approve the minutes and the treasurer's report from 2023, and you'll move through the line. You will eventually get to where the food is, and a grilled pork chop sandwich, courtesy of the Butcher Block here in town, along with some chips and cookies and applesauce and cold water in a very nice reusable tote bag. And there'll even be some picnic tables set up for folks who want to
visit,
park and visit.
Yeah.
And we understand that part will be missed, but the whole thing, and as we were researching for a recent advisory committee meeting, this annual meeting has changed over the years dramatically. It used to be a two-day event. It used to attract as many as 5,000-6,000 people. The entertainment lineup, instead of just a two-person group or a singer sitting with his guitar, as we've had in recent years, a whole lineup of acts, dog tricks, and some kind of acrobatics, and just so. But we decided to, change is good, and we're going to try this. We'll be back in the park next year for a traditional meeting, and then the year after that, our thought is to take it to another fairground, Brown County or Schuyler County, and alternate each year between Bailey Park and one of the county fairgrounds, just to. It's always a school night, and some folks can't drive all the way to Camp Point and spend 2 or 3 hours and then get the kids home in a reasonable time. So we're going to take it to them and, you know, maybe get some new folks who haven't really embraced the annual meeting concept, and maybe they'll learn a little bit more about their co-op and have a chance to win some bill credits. We're giving away 3 $250 bill credits. We'll draw the next day. Several $100 bill credits and some 50s, along with some other fabulous prizes donated by some of our vendors. So
well, we love it. Yeah. Well, you know, you're doing a smart thing because you're making them vote before they get the pork chop sandwich.
Absolutely.
So all the minutes must be, you know, the excitement of approving the minutes really cannot be
That's
understated.
Always,
who wants
yeah.
to see a dog actor, Toby Keith impersonator, come when I can approve the minutes? Bill Stalder, thank you for your time. We need to have you back more often. I've learned a lot, and I thought I pretty much knew a lot, but I find out every day I don't know a lot. So thank you for helping to
educate me. Always a pleasure, Mary, and thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I hope to see you on the boards. Maybe we'll be in a show together about two elderly people searching for electricity somewhere.
On Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond. Here we come. The news. Okay. Thank you, Bill Stalder.
Thank you, Mary.
It is 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. The URSA Farmers Cooperative wants to tell us what's happening on the farm markets. Rex Battery brings us this report. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We've got two guests in here from John Wood Community College. First, Deb Riddell, who I've known for years, even though we're both so youthful. Deb at John Wood Community College. We're going to be talking about their adult education programs. Deb, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do at John Wood, and what are you involved in John Wood?
So right now I am the interim manager of community education, and I help do all of the non-credit community education classes, get those lined up and ready for our fall and spring session. And then I also do the programming for our J-Dub Academy in the summer, the College for Kids, the old college, what they called College for Kids.
Right, and now it's J-Dub Academy. So you get the little ones from like second grade to high school, and then you get the older ones or from adults that want to be kind of lifelong learners.
Yeah, that is what our mission statement is to be a community partner that provides opportunities for lifelong learning here in our community. So.
Well, let's meet Sarah Straza. Tell us your story, please.
So I'm the Administrative Specialist of Allied Health Sciences and Emergency Services and the CPR Coordinator at John Wood.
Okay. Wow. We need you. Not that we don't need you, Deb, but we need you. Okay.
Yeah.
So I imagine there are some classes that you've come to talk about today that are community classes. I mean, not everybody wants to be a registered nurse. Not everybody's going to go to medical school. But I have been trained in CPR, hands-only CPR, and how to use an automated external defibrillator. Hey, it's
good
easier
job,
just to say
AD.
It took me longer to learn what it's called than it is to learn it.
Yeah.
So what kind of classes, and again, these are classes for any age group, adults mostly, but you don't have to, well, you might have to take a test if you're going to take those kind of classes, but it's not like a classroom setting where, you know, you take notes and then there's a quiz. You're just learning for your life, for your enrichment of your personal life. You're not taking chemistry because you have to have it. You're taking these classes because you want to learn about these things. So please, Sarah, tell us about some of the things that are offered, please. Or is that not what you're here to talk about?
No, I can talk about, I offer basic life support classes, which is the compression and breathing CPR, and then I also offer Heart Saver, first aid, and CPR, first aid AED and CPR.
And that literally is life-changing and can save a life. And we always say everybody should know how to do that, but if everybody should know how to do it, why aren't we teaching it like in high school or someplace where it's so much more readily available? Or why isn't it a requirement, for example, to matriculate at John Wood? Then at least, I know you have to keep getting recertified, but at least once in your life you'd learn it. Why haven't we made more of a commitment to make sure everybody knows how to do this?
So in Allied Health, we do. All of our students take a basic life support CPR class, from our nurses to our CMAs, our CNAs, surge techs, all of our students do.
Okay. But that's not true in the music department or any other department, right?
No.
So
no.
These are some of the classes that are offered that are really critical for the general public.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, I took my class because, you know, I work with the public and I'm getting older myself, and I just wanted to have that baseline of knowledge that if I came upon somebody who needed CPR, even though I've taken the class probably 4 times in my life, you do have to get recertified, and you'd have to do refresher courses, because in a panic situation, anybody can do anything when they are calm. If you said, Mary, in 2 minutes, somebody's going to need you to do CPR. I could get my act together. Unfortunately, I don't have 2-minute warning. So so that's those are some serious classes, which are very good. But let's talk about some lighthearted things, like how to cook or how to plan for my retirement. Or that may not be too lighthearted if you waited till now. I probably should have started planning for retirement before I got to 65. Would that be a good rule of thumb?
That would be a good rule of thumb.
Okay, well.
Although you would be surprised, we are offering the Elder Law and Estate Planning Boot Camp with Bill Siebers.
Bill Siebers is great.
He's great. And you would be surprised how many older folks have signed up for that class that, you know, you would think, you want to maybe do that planning a little bit earlier in your lifetime. But
well, what you want to do and what you do are often two different things. And so this is a chance.
Right.
He is so wonderful. He is so great.
Yeah.
He is such an expert in the field. I needed somebody in Pennsylvania, and I called his office. And, you know, I mean, again, he didn't charge me for that.
Sure.
He took time out of his day to find an attorney in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you just can't say enough about someone like that that has that caring heart.
Right.
You know, obviously lawyers do like to charge by the hour, and they do like to get paid. But this is a chance for you to go and sit in the class at John Wood and get a lot of information for very little moolah.
For very little moolah. That's very true. And then, you know, this fall we are offering some really great cooking classes. I can tell you right now, two of our classes, the Pasta 101 and the Wonderful World of Curry, are already full.
Already full. So I'm never going to find out, unless I had already signed up the cast, should you put oil in the pasta water or not?
I don't know.
I never cook, but I watch cooking shows all the time.
Yes.
Half of them say you got to put oil in the water to keep the pasta from sticking together. The other half say don't put oil in your water because then the sauce won't stick to the pasta.
Yeah. Well, Chef Vanessa will teach you the right way
Chef
to do
Vanessa
it.
Chef Vanessa should know because she's in charge of culinary arts out there at John
Wood.
Yes,
she is. And she's part of that our new program, Culinary Art Program, that's just launched this fall, and we are so delighted to have her. We also are offering home canning and preserving, which is something that I've always loved doing. And I thought, you know, there are a lot of young people out there who have never really experienced that. And right now, during the fall season, when all the vegetables and everything are coming, you know, ripe, what a great skill to have to preserve, to be able to, you know, grab a fresh jar of tomato sauce off your shelf in the wintertime and make chili.
Because
you know?
We always have two. I mean, what are you going to do with all that zucchini and all those tomatoes? Because the corn, it all comes due right at once. I said 2 weeks ago on the air that if I had to get a blood draw, I'd be 99% sweet corn. Because, you know, when it comes in, it's only going to be there for a while. And so probably unhealthy amounts of sweet corn were consumed by my husband and I. But, You know, there's nothing like.
Yeah.
I don't care. I know you can get frozen corn, and I know it's flash frozen and all that, and I enjoy it
there's
in January.
Nothing like
but
fresh.
There is nothing like shucking it yourself and, you know, putting the butter on it and the salt. And
that's right.
So everybody, you know, people used to know how to do that.
They did used to know how to do it. And that's, you know, when I first took over the, you know, management of community ed, I thought, you know, that's one of the classes that I wanted to bring to the community, as well as I'm working on trying to get a bread making class, because there's nothing more satisfying than making that homemade, that smell.
Punching
and
the dough. You get a lot of...
Yeah.
So, well, we've lost some of these skills.
We have.
As we have moved away from an agrarian culture.
Right.
I mean, my mother, to the day she died, could not stand grape jelly because
she made it.
My mother's farm, you know, had a grape arbor on it, and they were, you know, products of grow your own, and so grape juice, grape jelly, grape everything,
a little grape wine
to the probably. I don't know if Miss Gina knew about that when she was a teenager, but she probably snipped a bottle or two. But she got almost averse to it. My dad grew up on a dairy farm, and he says, you know, one thing I really don't ever crave is milk. I've had enough of that. But the bottom line is, you know, I remember going down in Grandma's basement, and there was the store.
Yeah.
There were the
absolutely.
Beans and everything. And now we don't know how to do this.
My home as well. We used to have what they called a root cellar, and it was full of canned vegetables and things. Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to learn that lost art and you want to grow your own garden and do all that and can your own food, they've got a class at John Wood. Let's just run down real quickly again some of these titles, because you've got computers.
Oh,
and
we've got everything. I'm here to tell you. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, we have a class on how to do the Mediterranean diet, which, you know, is all plant-based and very heart-healthy. So we've got two Mediterranean diet classes. But in terms of the computer classes we are offering, I'm going to take one of them myself, which is social media for beginners, because I just, you know, I'm not really savvy on TikTok or, you know, all of those.
And you need to understand,
and
sometimes
you
post things, you're not just posting them for your friends to see, but for the
world
to see. So you talk about safeguards, too.
Safeguards. And then we have a class called Digital Safety and Security. She's going to teach them how to keep their computers safe and their devices safe. And then we're also offering an Increase Your Smartphone IQ for iPhone and for Android. So Dr. Margie has a very limited group that she's willing to, you know, teach them how to do things on their smartphone that, you know, you don't utilize all the really resources that you have on your phone, you know, especially if you're older, you know, how to keep the calendar, how to download apps, all those things that you need to know you know, use your smartphone more efficiently.
Mine is
completely
unutilized. I mean, my husband bought it for me a couple of years ago, and I've learned a few things, but you're right.
There's so much you can do.
Yeah,
you could do
so
on
you know
your
how
phone.
I solved that problem? I say, Greg, do this, and that's how I solved that problem, but I probably need to learn it on my own.
Yeah, and Dr. Margie can teach you all of those skills, you know. We're also bringing
dancing?
Back... We got salsa dancing. I'm posting some signs at the restaurants around town. We've got beginning salsa and merengue. Ignacio, who has taught for us for several years, is really a Latin dance enthusiast. He's very good, and he has that skill how to bring couples together to do it together. And Tai Chi for Health is almost full. We have Jess Myers back from the Tai Chi community, and her class is almost full. They kept rolling in, and I was like, oh my goodness, this class is going to be full pretty soon. So, you know, a lot of seniors, you know, want that slow movement, but they want, you know, to increase their cardiovascular, but, you know, they can't do Zumba or they can't do
something more. Pant and sweat profusely, but you do get your cardio up and your muscular strength up. And so it's perfect for older people. Are getting back into the exercise world in a little out of shape.
Yep.
How do we sign up for all this stuff, and where do we get a guide? I guess I have a printed guide that I have here at the radio station that we put on our community calendar, what's coming up. But I'm sure it's on your website.
Yep. If you go to our website, you just go to Community Ed, and then on the Community Ed page, there is a registration form. You just fill that out, submit it, and it will come to us. We will reach out to folks, get them registered, get their payment over the phone, and get them in the class.
Right. So, the classes aren't free, but they're very reasonable.
They're very reasonable. Yes.
Sarah, anything you want to add? We haven't talked to you much. I can tell she's very supportive, but she's willing to have Deb take the lead. Anything we missed?
No. Okay. Learn to save a life. Take a BLS course.
Yeah. Take a life-saving course. Take a Mediterranean. Save somebody else's life with your course. Save your own life with the Mediterranean diet and Tai Chi.
Exactly.
And save your kids from stealing all your money with the elder law abuse cuts. Okay, we got it all down here.
All right.
Thank you so very much for stopping by today.
Thanks,
we greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Have a great Labor Day weekend. I'll be back Monday to do it all again.